Our patience, courage, and decision is determined in our resolution. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with Instant Illumination. And I am surrounded by two monks and a possible monk. Okay, our patience, courage, and decision is determined in our resolution. We think that we're the best. We think we have all the patience in the world with anybody, no matter how slow they may be, no matter how uncaring they may be, no matter how foolish they may be. We think we have a lot of patience. And we think we have a lot of courage because we can stand up to principle at all times, under all circumstances, and not feel that we're doing the wrong thing. See, that's what courage takes. Courage means that you stand up for your decision, you stand up for principle, regardless of what something else would say about it, you just stand up for it. Now, can you do that? You say, oh, yes, I can do that. Mm-hmm, good. We'll go on to the other one here now. Decision. What is your decision? You have a decision that you want to follow the principles of truth. You want to follow the teachings of the philosophy of the University of Healing here. You want to follow your inner guidance, your inner light. You want to follow the divine within you. That's what you say is your decision. Now, how easy it is for us to break that decision when it's a matter of going out with somebody else and doing something. Now, for instance, you are in a car with friends, and the friends begin driving erratically, foolishly, dangerously. And you do not drive erratically, foolishly, nor dangerously, and you are not comfortable there. Now, you can do a number of things. One thing, you can tell your friends to drive properly, which will irritate them, and they will drive more erratically, foolishly, and dangerously. Or you can say to your friends, hey, just a minute, I got to take a piss. And they'll stop and let you out by the side of the road and say, okay, see you guys later, and let them go their way, and you get out, and they stopped without being angry. They let you out to do a normal thing, and they weren't angry, you understand? Or you could be a master, which very few people are, and you could say inside yourself, I surround this car with my pure white light of love. All its ways are peace and all its paths are pleasantness, period. You know what period means?
Punkt.
Punkt. End. Basta. I surround this car with my pure white light of love, and all its ways are peace and all its paths are pleasantness. What would happen to the car? The car would be driven by whomever was driving it in a wonderful, balanced, perfect way. Now, if the driver was one who wanted to persist in driving badly, or driving not according to your standards, then the driver would say to you, hey, I'm tired. I'm going to take a little nap. You drive, please. You say, you bet. You see, no matter what you want to do, you put the cause in motion, and the circumstances come up to do it. Is it logical that he'd say, I'm tired, I want to sleep, you drive? That's easy done, isn't it? But if you don't have a license, that's easy done. He can still ask you. He doesn't care. And so you opt for another. You say, oh, Fred here has a license, he should drive. Okay, yeah. But the other fellow didn't think of asking Fred because it was your consciousness that was making all things in divine order. And so he turned to you knowing that it's your consciousness. He didn't know it. Subliminally he knew it. It's your consciousness. It's the balance of the group. And he just felt tired and he just said, I don't want to drive anymore. It's not that he couldn't, shouldn't, wouldn't, but he was tired. And so that told him a perfect excuse. Anybody can be tired and it's okay. But I don't feel like driving because I'm tired. I don't feel like driving because you're a bunch of wimps driving with me. I don't feel like, you know, you don't want any attitude. All you want is the most logical, balanced, easy way to have it be done. And even the logic doesn't have to be there. He might just say, you know, guys, I've had enough of this. And then he stops the car, takes the keys, and throws them in the bushes. He says, I'm going to take a nap. So then the guys go out and look for the keys. And he has time for a nice nap. And so they bring the keys back, and then he is feeling fine, and he drives again. But you see, if you were to say, I'm going to stop and take a nap, all you guys take a nap too, they'd say, we're not tired, you know. You're tired because you've been acting improperly, you know. And, but you see, when you say, all is in divine order, when you say, I surround this car with my pure white light of love, all its ways are peace and all its paths are pleasantness and the way is open before me, it is done. It is done. But I know that every time Ellen has gotten in her car throughout her time of knowing me, she has not said that. Many times she said it, but not every time. And the time she didn't say it was when something happened. Yes? Remember the deer?
To myself.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Yeah, if you don't put the cause in motion, you can run into a deer. You can do all sorts of silly things, you know. And you know the principle, you know the rules, you know that if you have patience and courage and decide to do it, it works out perfectly. But if you don't, then all of your resolutions are gone. Now, Douglas here was in a New Year's Eve party. You know what that is, don't you? And in this New Year's Eve party, Douglas was sitting with this particularly fetching person, and the person says, you know, Doug, you are so perfect, a little polishing would finish you off and you'd be ideal for the world and for yourself. And Douglas says, well, what do I need to finish off? And they told you, and you said, okay, yeah, we'll take a couple things. If you didn't smoke, and if you didn't have diabetes, yeah, not bad. Huh? If you didn't have these things, you'd be perfect. And so Douglas says, "All right, I resolve. From this moment forward, I do not smoke, and I do not have diabetes, or I am whole and perfect." Is a little better. Mm-hmm. Now, can you do that? Sure. Do you do that? No. Every time you turn around, you're reminded of the desire to smoke, or you're reminded of the desire to take care of your blood sugar and what have you, you know? Every moment. Now, could you have the courage and what else do you, the patience and the decision to follow through? See, this is why most people don't get what they want in life. I had one woman, and she says, my life has not been very nice. And I said, why is that? She said, well, I never get what I want, but I always get everything I ask for. And I say, well, you are a miracle lady. That's beautiful. She said, yes, I wanted a college degree in medicine. I wanted a college degree in other areas of medicine, and I went and I got them, and I wanted to work in a doctor's office, and I did. I wanted to be married, and I did. I wanted to have a child, and I did. And the first marriage wasn't my pleasure, so I got married again, and I thought, surely this might be the pleasure. But you see, what did she do wrong? And then this is what she told me. This is a crucial point. She says, I never do anything for myself. I always do it for my husband, for my father, for my children, my child. She said, I never do anything for myself. Now what happens when we never do anything for ourselves? What is the whole purpose of being alive on planet Earth? Is it to serve others? No. Is it to serve yourself? No. It's to be. You're not serving yourself, you're being. You're not going to be happy. You're not going to be rich. You're not going to be healthy. You're not going to be all these things. You are. You accept it as a foredrawn conclusion right now. What happens then? You experience it. Okay. I told her this too. I said, if you're always going to do things for others, you're never going to like yourself, nor will anybody else. Because nobody likes a martyr, someone who's always doing things for somebody else. And that's a foolish thing to do. So, what do we do now? How do we look at this now? How do we look at our life now? Our patience, courage, and decision is determined by our resolution. Now, what is your resolution, Ellen, as far as being a master?
Being myself and having fun.
What is your resolution as far as being a master is?
A master, season of the master.
What is your resolution as far as being a master, Ellen? Ich bin ein Meister.
Well, yeah, that's already...
My God, no, it's not predetermined. What is your resolution on being a master?
I am a master
under all circumstances.
Okay.
I am a master in all ways, at all times.
Right.
I am not going to be, I'm not wanting to be, I'm not hoping to be. I am a master under all circumstances. You understand?
Right.
Now, Ellen, am I so bad for shouting at you on this?
No.
All right, then, take it.
Yes.
Run with it.
I accept it.
Right. What's your resolve on being youthful and delightful and charming?
I am it.
God's a dunk. Wonderful. That's the perfect answer. I am it. May I shake your hand?
Yes. Nice. Thank you.
Very good. I am it. Did you get that? I am. It's not to be. You see, it's not the patience and the courage and the decision. It's our resolution. It is our choice that makes all the difference. I am going to be whole and perfect. I am going to... When Norman Cousins had his laughter events, he was not looking for health. He was health. He forgot all about his problem when he laughed his head off. Ilse would love him.
Yeah.
So, Ilse was one of our students, and she'd always say, oh, he laughed his head off, he laughed his head off, he laughed his head off. She found that most amusing. And it is, but it's great. Now, what is your resolution?
Done.
That's just fine, but what was it?
To be all I can be.
I am.
Your resolution is you are all that you envision yourself to do. But you see, it's to be all that I can be. That's good. That's good beginning stuff.
I am
but,
what I am.
Huh? There you go. I am what I am. I'm Popeye the Sailor Man. I am what I am. That, Ellen, you know, that was a cartoon way back in the 20s and 30s and 40s. And kids heard that all the time. I'm Popeye the Sailor Man. And he eats his spinach. And he eats his spinach through his pipe. And he could just do crazy things. And he's a really strong fellow. But anyhow. I am that I am. Now, what am you? Our boy is carrying laundry around again. Now, what am you? You are, I am that I am. What is this I am that you are?
A master.
Huh?
I'm a master.
A master. Yeah, but a master of what, for instance?
My own thinking.
My own thinking?
My own belief.
Your own belief? That's a good start. I'm a master of all. I'm a master of all. You see, we don't want to limit ourselves, but to say I'm master of my thinking and so forth is a good start. But we don't want to limit ourselves. We want to unlock the doors that open up everything for us. Oh, come on now. He is just having himself a good time. He found your string, Ingeborg. You probably ought to take your string away before it's like a kitten. It's all over the floor. Here. Ingeborg.
Give him a cookie.
Hold that out for him. He'll come for that. Of course, the way you're approaching him, I would imagine he's figuring there's something else about this here. Ingeborg, Ellen, you're being followed there. But, you see, do you want to catch him? If you want to catch him, in your mind, ahead of time, you caught him.
Yeah.
And so, sometimes you come prepared with a cookie, you know. And, but you see, she's going at him as though she is going to try to catch him. Ingeborg, stand up. Stand, hold the cookie out and say, here, not down, where you can get to it. Here, Rex, here's a cookie. Here's a cookie.
He ain't falling for it.
Yeah, sure. Now, you take the string he can't get the string out of his mouth. Give him the cookie. See, when you offer a cookie, you can't take it away and not give it to him, because you would?
Of course would I give it. I would not just...
Oh, you wouldn't?
Oh, no, I would give it to him. Yes, I would.
Good. And he did. You happy? Yeah. We got some more work to do. So, how do you train yourself to be obedient? You train yourself to be obedient by doing things that are necessary to be done. And this is having little children in the house, you know. Everything on their level must not be. So, Rex, you have just bought yourself a passport to the Hermitage.
No.
Yes. This is not a baby house. This is a mini pin and a mini schnauzer house. It's low. And for him, nothing is low.
He got it now.
Because he can he's tall, right? He got the message? Oh, good. So, our patience, courage, and decision is determined in our resolution. Can you imagine people listening to this here and thinking to themselves, what in the heck's going on there? I thought this was a talk, an instant illumination. It is. If you didn't get illumined by the comments that were made by our people here, you weren't listening. Because all is in the
mind of the
now. All is in the now.
Okay.
I mean, you've heard that phrase often enough, too.
Yes.
And, of course, all is in the mind of the believer, you know, or the conceiver or whatever, but that's not one of our phrases. That's Cote's statement. Okay, now, we want to realize, no matter what it is that we choose to have in our life, we put the cause in motion and we have it. Okay?
Yes.
Okay, go for that. And that's what life is all about.
That's what it's all about.
Have a lovely day and a lovely afternoon or whatever time it is where you are. And know that I love you. I love you. I love you.
I love you.
I love you. Thank you.